Blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your presence being made known among your people. Thank you for answering our prayers and forgiving our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain. Thank you for letting us be alive in these last days to see all your prophecies come to light. And thank you for letting the signs follow your people so that we can go forth and glorify you. Thank you for giving us this work, protecting the work, and protecting the workers with that hedge of angels. And thank you for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list that we lift up each and every day. Thank you so much for salvation, for sending your Son, for loving us so much. Thank you for helping us in our times of fear and anxiety, despair, and blessing us with that perfect peace, because we know that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but a sound mind. And Father, I pray that you bridle my tongue and any tongue that may speak, so that you and you alone are being glorified and the showbread can be changed. And we thank you for all these things. In the name of your Son, our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm going to welcome a bunch of new people here. Hold on, I got a little text chat thing going on. Hold on. There we go. The text chat has a tendency to mess up. Hopefully that won't be an issue after next week. Or after this week. Well, on to your Tuesday. I want to welcome Barbara. Well, Chris Paul is back. And Lawrence. And I thought I saw some others in there too, but I guess they fell out. And if you would like a password, those of you that have the red circles, if you would like a password, just send me off an email. And let me know that you were in the room and it worked, everything like that, and then the password can be generated. As long as you've registered. If you registered in the chat, on the server, you'll get the password. Otherwise, I can't send one. There has to be a registration file to get the password. Okay, and I got a couple of phrases here. Number one, Brother Craig's laptop is fixed, one of them, and that's why he's here. They had an issue last night with a couple other computers. And Sister Susan just sent me a note that our prayers were answered. Her husband does not have to work on Sabbath. And so amen to that. It's amazing how today's world is. Sometimes people will actually be fired because they don't want to work Friday sundown or Saturday sundown. So amen. Okay. If you're joining us on the radio or on the phone, and you have access to the lessons, the study lessons, if you go to remedygod.org, scroll down to the main page, scroll down on the main page and just click the blue gift box, the free gift, and it'll bring you to the study page. Go to number 9. We're on question number 5 of study number 9. And the question is, has David already gone to heaven? In Acts chapter 2, verse 34, thank you, Brother Gorin, says, for David is not... For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. So that's right. Even back then, the people of God were led astray concerning the state of the dead. So much so that Peter had to correct their false doctrines. This is one of the early fruits of the Christian church. The Pharisees had confused the truth so long, for so long that some of their unbiblical theories had been embraced by many. But the Holy Spirit was upon the people of God that obeyed the command to come out of the fallen churches, just like what's going on today. Because most of the people in the churches today are in fallen churches. And they believe that when you die, you go straight to heaven or straight to hell or limbo or purgatory or someplace like that. And so they're in trouble. They're biblically in danger. And I mean, the apostles... they were, of course, as we know, truly doing the work of the Lord, and that they understood the scriptures to the point that they could clearly explain them. And the people, having the Spirit as well, could clearly understand the sermons. that were offered to them. This is no different than today. I mean, for example, I recall many years ago when I started to preach online in the audio chats, many of the people that came to hear what the Lord would have me share were Seventh-day Adventists. Yet they repeatedly proclaimed that they never heard these truths before. At first, it boggled my mind because I knew the truth I was preaching was the original truths as they understood in their day, because some ex-Seventh-day Adventists informed me this was so. You know, I never studied the SDA theology or their books in depth for any, I mean, I really never read any of it. But after some time, it dawned on me that the truth I was sharing was only there because the Holy Spirit was active in our little church. But those in the SDA church had no blessing when it came to the truth, and therefore sat through many years of dry sermons and useless gatherings. I remember going the very first, when I found out about the Sabbath, I went to a Seventh-day Adventist church in Champaign, Illinois, and I couldn't believe how dry and dead and dark and dismal it was. And I, you know, we didn't stay there long. You know, we only went there six times over the course of like 6 months or something like that, because I had a very unreliable car back then. But still, as we see 2,000 years ago, we see the same thing happening today. I mean, you know, when the people of God follow the Lord's command to come out of Babylon, the spiritual blessing has become extremely apparent. I mean, even our children know things that theologians can't grasp. This is why they get upset and angry. I was Roman Catholic, and I was taught, you know, this. I was raised Roman Catholic. Some of you are raised Roman Catholic, too, and some of you were raised atheist, even. I know of an atheist that, I don't know, if have joined our number now. But anyway, like I said, I was raised a Roman Catholic, and I was taught that when you died, you went straight to heaven or you went straight to hell, just as the believers 2,000 years ago were taught. It wasn't until obedience was embraced. You know, when I left the church, I did what Revelation 18 said to do. And, you know, Revelation 18 verses 1 to 5, you know, come out of her, my people. And the Holy Spirit did do as he promised to do upon the people of God when they are obedient. And this is also why the dragon has been making war with us, you know, the remnant of her seed, ever since. I mean, it just has not stopped. But I praise the Lord for many, many years of dealing with these trials, because after a while, your skin gets pretty thick. I mean, they still come every now and then. You get them, you know, out of left field where you don't expect, and it kind of knocks you back a couple of paces. But it's just a little bit harder trial to give you a little bit harder lesson learning, because we need some of these, especially if you're getting large trials, we need these. Because the days are coming. I mean, you can't even imagine. We went over this before in some of our studies, our Friday night studies, in very deep depth, about how intense it's going to get. It's already getting pretty bad, especially for those Christians that are in other nations. But with our controlled media, you hardly hear about this. Like, for example, they're crucifying Christians right now, and the Islamic people are crucifying Christians. And I put that article on the site, and people are telling me that I got some emails saying that it's wrong. You have to take that article down. It's false. It's been proven false. I said, sorry, but you can't trust certain media outlets that say it's false. So I left the picture up, or not in the picture, but the article up. And then a couple, 3 days ago, a video came down of an actual crucifixion where the guy had been hanging there for some time. And I did break the link. I mean, that's, I even stated on the main page, if you want to watch this video, you better email me, and I want to make sure you're 18, because it's not something you want to look at. It's very graphic. And so they are doing this. They're killing Christians all around the world. And so, but this is expected. And this is one of the reasons we're going through the trials that we're going through, because it's going to become into our neighborhood soon, especially if you live in a city. And martial law, that's no joke. It's coming. They're going to, even if it doesn't look like, even if they don't proclaim it martial law right now, walk into any city. You can walk from one store outside, go to the next store, into the store, and get out of that store, go across the street, and you can do all this in Chicago or New York or any mainstream or any major city, and every step you take is on a camera somewhere. And as of last year, all those closed-circuit TVs are linked in now with police stations. So, and that's just the control issue on things. So that we already have the police state here. So it's going to get a lot worse, and this is one of the reasons some of us are going through these major trials right now to deal with this, so that when the big stuff comes, our skin will be so thick we'll be able to handle it. It's just like lifting weights, you know. Kind of also reminds me of that kid that survived the Titanic. He was a young reporter, and he wanted to go on the Titanic. He wanted to go on the maiden voyage, and his dad says, no, you can't go. Even though his dad was his boss and the guy was a reporter, he says, it's too dangerous. And so what the kid did, I say kid, he's like in his 20s. But what he did was he sat in a tub full of ice every single day until he got to the point where he can handle it for 2 or 3 hours in a tub of ice with water, not just the ice, but with water. And he proved to his dad, he showed him, he says, look, I can sit in here 2 or 3 hours, not a problem. So his dad let him go. You know, had he not done that, he never would have survived when that ship went down. And so he prepared, just like we're preparing with these trials. We got some heavy stuff headed our way. And that shouldn't scare you either, because we're not given a spirit of fear. These trials are coming because the signs shall follow God's people. And so during these times, when it's very intense, you know, like King David, when he's a ruddy little youth, he didn't saunter and kick pebbles towards Goliath. He ran towards Goliath with pebbles in his hand, well, in his little bag. But, you know, we can trust our Father. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper, it says in the Word. Okay, so number six. Let's go to number six. And the question is, where is David now? And Acts 2:29 says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. And I like to use this verse on the street along with the previous one from 2:34 to ask people, it says, look, we know that King David was blessed of God. Even though he committed adultery and murder, you know, he repented perfectly. Nothing like Saul, where he started, you know, Saul, of course, when he was approached by the prophet, started pointing fingers. But when Nathan stepped up to David, David collapsed in repentance, right? And so we know that King David is blessed. I mean, he was a man after God's own heart. We know all this about, you know, about David in the scriptures, and the Lord speaks of him highly quite often. And I mean, he was so much so was this blessing upon this man that out of his bloodline we have Christ the Lord, right? Out of his family bloodline. So every time I ask this question on the street about where do you think King David is, do you think, because this man was definitely, I mean, we have overwhelming evidence in the Word that this guy's headed to heaven, right? So where do you think he is right now? And 100% of the time, every single solitary one of the people, including Catholics that believe in limbo and purgatory and all that stuff, they all say he's in heaven. All of them. But then look at these two verses. I mean, this is exactly what many of the believers 2,000 years ago believed in as well. And this is why Peter addressed it that day. They were taught. I mean, you've got to keep in mind, this is the young Christian church. These are the on fire remnant of her seed of that day. Let's put it that way, okay? There wasn't a Revelation 12:17 for their day, but it's obvious they were the remnant of her seed because they stepped out. They were doing it. They were walking the perfectly straight and narrow path. And they had some, you know, situations and issues with understanding. So that's going to happen. It's normal. When I stepped out of the Catholic Church, it took me 10 years, me and my wife, 10 years before we even understood about the Sabbath. And that came to us one day. But 10 years of unlearning garbage. I mean, all that paganism. And so this is why Peter addressed it that day. And so ask him, when you get the people on the street, do you believe that King David is in heaven, seeing how he was a man after God's own heart, and he had a very blessed death? And when they say yes, just show them Acts 2:29. Because 9 times out of 10, if they're in a corrupted church, they're not going to hear that verse. You know, it's just not going to be preached from the pulpit. It's just like with the 7-year trib or the secret rapture stuff, you know, or even life after death, you know, the eternal hellfire situation. There's a lot of Bible verses that they specifically leave out on their pulpits, because if they leave them in, it overwhelmingly proves there's no 7-year trib. It overwhelmingly proves there is no secret rapture. There is no word rapture in the Bible either, but the saints will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, so that is going to happen. But it's not going to be after 7 years of trib. It's not going to be done in secret. You know, it's I got a whole, well, it's a book on the site, The Rapture. It's about the rapture. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many Bible verses are bluntly saying these guys are lying on those pulpits. But if you go to these churches and you become a pastor echo, because that's what the people are now. You know, preach onto us smooth things, they say. We don't want to go through those tribulations, so tell us the right tribulation. Or tell us we get to sneak out of here 7 years before it really gets crazy. You know, and yeah, amen, they're sheeple. They're led by the nose. You know, so anyway, question number 7. what has become of him? David, of course, what has become of his body? Acts 13:36 says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption." You know, as much as this man was loved of the Lord, he had no choice but to lay in the grave and become dust, just as Adam and all those after him, with the exception of a very few. You know, like Enoch, Elijah, Moses. Moses was in the grave, but then he was resurrected. I mean, mankind always has a tendency to lift himself up a little higher than he was created to stand. And yes, David was a great king, but there's no getting around the truth as it is written. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." I mean, truth is truth, and it will carry forward no matter how much man thinks otherwise. Still, even here, some are confused, thinking the Bible contradicts itself because it says all men are appointed to die at least once. And this is true. But then they ask, what about Elijah? What about Enoch? Or the soon-coming Gideon band that has 144,000 that never, ever see death? Truth is, they all did see death, no matter how much some want to think otherwise. Now, before you declare me to be a false teacher and declare my doctrines extra-biblical, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31 says, "I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." Or what is the theology about being born again? Do we not die of self when we gain Christ as Lord? Yes, we do. It's just that Enoch, Elijah, and the Gideon band will have died perfectly of self before being translated. So yes, it is appointed unto men to die once. It's just that the 144,000 will learn in the coming days how to do so while standing on their feet. I mean, Galatians 2:20 is something the 144,000 will understand clearly and actually walk in daily, wherein it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." Did you get that? Because crucifixion leads to what? Death, right? So, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 5:24 also says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." And Ephesians 4, verses 22 and 23 says, "That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Unless you put off that old man and walk new with Christ perfectly, we won't be part of that number that stands alive on that great and dreadful day. Romans chapter 6, verses 2 and then 6 to 9, it says, "How shall we that are dead to sin," there's that death again, "live any longer therein, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him." The Gideon band will have an absolute understanding of this truth in such a way that they die perfectly of self, as did Enoch and Elijah. In so doing, their walk will proclaim the truth is still the truth, and that all men must die once because they are partakers of the divine nature. They will be translated from mortal to immortal when that day comes. In the twinkling of an eye, in fact. All right, so number 8. Amen. Ephesians 2:1, I like that. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then Genesis 2:17, Adam died at the age of 930. But not when he ate, he died spiritually. Yeah, a lot of people miss that too. You know, like we understand the Bible says the day is 1,000 years unto the Lord, is as 1,000 years unto the Lord. And everybody says, well, look, the Bible contradicts itself. The Lord told Adam and Eve the minute they eat from the fruit of the tree of good, you know, knowledge of good and evil, they're going to die that day. That day thou shalt surely die, right? And then, of course, Satan twisted the truth that the Lord was saying, just like he does today. He takes stuff out of context. That's why we get so many atheists out there that are reading bogus Bibles and have thousands of verses missing, or they're listening to bogus preachers. But anyway, the devil said what he said, and of course, Eve takes a bite, and she doesn't drop dead. Hands it to Adam, he doesn't drop dead. People say, well, there you go. God lied. And so they're back in Satan's theology. When in fact, the moment they bit that fruit, I wanted to say apple, but it wasn't an apple, the minute they bit that fruit, they contracted a fatal disease. So from that day forward, they were dying. Okay, it took 930 years for Adam to die, but he died. And as a day that equals 1,000 years, he died in that day that the Lord was talking about. But, see, this is how we get the atheists. They say, well, you know, because they don't know the ins and outs. They don't know the meat. They're looking at the milk and trying to make it look like meat, you know, or taking it out of context. Or the way the devil likes to change the wording today. You know, like, for example, the word forever means a lifetime in the Old Testament. You know, somebody will be a bond slave forever. Okay, so does that mean after the guy dies and it's 10,000 years later, you know, someone wants him to get him a meal, his bones reanimate and he becomes a slave again and he goes and he brings him the food? No, it means forever. But today, forever means eternity. Or look at the word gay. 40 years ago, gay meant happy and giddy. Today it means homosexual. So people look at the Bible the way they want to look at it. They read it the way they want to see it. And, of course, it leads them down a wrong path each and every time. Okay, I think we got time to do one more. Number 8. How will God awaken the dead? And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven very quietly where no one hears him. No, it says with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. But the secret rapture preachers out there are constantly saying it's going to be done quietly. You know, it says in the Bible, as a thief in the night. Well, that means it's unexpected. If you look at the verses after, it says, but ye brethren are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Why? Because we study prophecy. But you can't say that verse in those churches, verse number 4 out of, Thessalonians chapter 5, you can't preach that verse because then they're going to ask the pastor, well, why does it say that? Well, the pastor's going to say, well, because you understand prophecy. They can't take you overtake you like a thief. But he doesn't preach prophecy. And they know he doesn't preach prophecy. And so he can't preach that verse because they're going to say, well, that pastor, you don't preach prophecy. How can see you? And then they got to leave. I mean, the study also shares here, what is it? Matthew 24:31 that says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. Now, here again is where the Bible study becomes so helpful in our daily lives. When I was a child, around 9 or 10 years of age, a friend of the family was killed in a tractor-trailer accident on the Edens Expressway. Before we knew his fate, we were watching it all on the news. Because they, you know, helicopters, everything. It was a big accident. And as they were trying to get him out of the cab, he was a trucker. He was driving one of those tankers filled with acetone. As they were trying to get him out of the cab, which was badly crushed, one of our friends that were watching with us made the claim that if we held a seance immediately, we would be able to cause his spirit to go back into him if, in fact, he was dead. Well, as a child and being Roman Catholic, I thought she was telling the truth because no one questioned her or the idea of the seance. All of us were Catholic, of course, and no one read a Bible. As I grew older, more and more strange statements about the state of the dead were shared with me, and I must say I had a real hodgepodge of idiocy to draw on if ever asked about my views on the subject. Even people that didn't claim to be Catholic had strange theories of the state of the dead, but many years later, when I came across this passage in Scripture, it moved me to look further into all this because what's being said here confused me about where people go when they die. I mean, what I mean is, everyone is saying that when you die, you go to heaven. But here we see the word saying that the dead will awaken at the last day at the sound of the trumpet. So what confused me was, how can they be alive in heaven when Jesus was waking them up in the grave long after their deaths? Do they go to heaven and somehow snap back into their graves when he returns? I mean, so again, Bible study does in fact protect us from the lies like this, these little darts of the devil. If you got the basic understandings, you know, you're blessed. And by the way, do you recall where it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, that above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked? The strange theories of the state of the dead is one of those fiery darts. These darts are not only, they're not always about temptations in the flesh with such things like sex, drugs, music, video games, and movies. I mean, if the devil can get you to believe the false doctrines that the prophecy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 predicts will be prevalent in our day, then he can lure you into his trap. I mean, take this secret rapture theory, for example. This passage about the last trump is speaking of something that will be heard globally, worldwide, everywhere. How, I ask, is that a secret? But if you never read a Bible, you get to believe what the false teachers are saying from their pulpits and then be waiting like all the rest of the people for the disappearance of millions and millions of people all of a sudden just vanish into nothingness and then leave their clothes behind like that Left Behind movie. You know, I know many people that believe that will be their sign to get right with God. They believe that after that happens, they're going to have 7 years to clean up their act. In other words, that's what they're waiting for. They're not cleaning up their act now. They're waiting for the last moment. They're waiting for the skin in their teeth thing. You know, until then, they plan to party on. I mean, problem is, the catching away the saints will not come as they believe. It won't be in secret, and it won't precede a seven-year tribulation. How is this dangerous, you ask? Literally, billions are waiting for a sign that never comes. They simply won't be ready for the Lord's arrival because they trusted in a lie concerning how his arrival transpires. These are those that are spoken of in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, that says, "The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved." Hope and pray you were blessed on the Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.